I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, there'll be no ceasefire, general ceasefire in Gaza without the release of our hostages. As far as tactical little pauses, an hour here, an hour there, we've had them before. I suppose we'll check the circumstances in order to enable goods, humanitarian goods to come in, or our hostages, individual hostages to leave. But I don't think there's going to be a general ceasefire.
Netanyahu believes a ceasefire would hamper the war against Hamas and the effort to get the hostages. He also told 80 ambassadors what he believes is at stake in this war.
What we see is a broader battle between civilization and barbarism. The barbarism is led by an axis of terror. The axis of terror is led by Iran, and we believe that all civilized powers should back us in this effort, because this battle is your battle, and our victory is your victory.
Our victory is your victory. The words of the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. To that point, I wonder how many of the thousands, they say 100,000, gathered in the streets of D.C. the other day, shouting out, "From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." How many of them realize that if you wipe out Israel, who's next on the target list? You. And if they realize it, do they really, truly understand it? They seem to have no compunction whatsoever condemning Israel for retaliating, bombing Gaza, trying to get military targets that are hidden deep inside the civilian population. But they don't one time actually condemn what Hamas did to innocent Israeli citizens October 7th. Oh, they'll say they grieve for them and they are sorry about it, but they don't condemn. There's a difference between "I'm sorry" and actually saying "you have been absolutely wrong, and in my words, you deserve to go to hell," period. All right, I've set the stage to begin with. Here we go. Thanks for joining us. November 7, 2023. This is the first hour of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back. You don't have to go anywhere for the next 2 hours. And, of course, when we're on the air from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday, we're also streaming video for you. That would include video at Larry Connors USA Facebook and Twitter, News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Rumble, and almost anywhere else you can find a podcast, you're going to find us. If you miss any part of any program, either the video and or the audio, and you want to see it, listen to it, maybe share with others, I always encourage sharing, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. LarryConnorsUSA.com. We're branded that way everywhere. No mistaking. And I appreciate your support as always. So there was Netanyahu stating that the war we're fighting is not just for Israel. Our defeat will be your defeat. Our victory will be your victory. And yet we've got members inside our own Congress. I want to read one from Congresswoman Tlaib, of course, that they were trying to pass a censure measure on her. And some Republicans didn't go along with it either, either in the Senate nor in the House. But in the House, Congressman Massey of Kentucky said, "Well, I didn't want to do it because it talked about basically insurrection, and that word's been thrown around like loose pennies and since January 6th, so that's why I opposed to it." All you had to do, Congressman, was vote for the censure and then say, "But these words should have been taken out." He's a Republican in Kentucky. I love Kentucky whiskeys and bourbons, but I got to tell you, he's had way too much. But Congresswoman Tlaib, Democrat of Michigan, now in a statement criticizing her colleagues' attempts to silence her, saying they're more focused on controlling her words than saving the lives of people in Gaza under siege from Hamas's, rather from Israel's attack on Hamas. That's the general consensus of it. Let me read the exact statement for you. It is a shame my colleagues are more focused on silencing me than they are on saving lives as the death toll in Gaza surpasses 10,000. Many of them have shown me that Palestinian lives simply do not matter to them, but I still do not police their rhetoric or actions. She's wrong on every point. Palestinian lives do matter as far as especially innocents, children, women, even men, if they're not part of Hamas. Palestinians don't control their own territory. Gaza is controlled by Hamas. It was originally PLO. They got booted out by al-Fatah when that came in. And then they had another election. Hamas won, and they've not had an election since then, and they're not going to. And they're hiding all their weapons directly beneath schools, mosques, and hospitals, and relief centers, knowing that if you're going to try to hit our commanders and command centers, you will kill a lot of innocent civilians. That's not the intent. But if Hamas would not hide under the baby bassinets and hospital beds, then they would not be striking those targets. Maria Bartiromo is talking about the recent trip from that Secretary of State Blinken made, and then getting response from retired General Jack King.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken wrapping up his high-stakes trip to the Middle East after making a surprise visit to the West Bank and Iraq in an effort to negotiate a humanitarian pause, is what he's calling it, ceasefire. Meanwhile, a Senate source familiar with the situation confirms to Fox that the Biden administration plans to transfer $320 million in precision bombs to Israel.
Whatever the Israelis need, if we have it, we're going to give it to them. And certainly their bombing campaign and is an issue here for them. They're running short, and also they need interceptors because Hamas is still firing rockets and missiles into Israel on a regular basis, certainly not with the intensity that it had at the beginning of this campaign. But nonetheless, whatever the Israelis need, we're going to get it to them as soon as we possibly can, and that's absolutely the right policy.
It is the right policy, and that's separate from the $14.3 or $5 billion passed by the House and Speaker Leader now, Johnson, to get money to Israel, in the words of Chuck Schumer, Senate Leader, ASAP. But Chuck Schumer's against it. You know why? Because they want to break it out from Ukraine funding and even more IRS agents and take money from the plan for more IRS agents to send to Israel. And the Democrats, they can't get over there. You cannot break this bill up. And even Mitch McConnell in the Senate is siding with Schumer. We should see the whole package. I thought Schumer said get money to Israel ASAP. That means immediately. You've got a bill in front of you. Act on it. Get that money headed to Israel in addition to the $350 for some munitions and help them out. And Schumer, being a Jew, is turning his back on Israel and fellow Jews. And don't forget the way this administration has been handling all of this. Remember the words of Sullivan, Jake Sullivan, speaking about how things are doing with the Israeli-Hamas Middle East issue. Remember that he had just recently bragged about our partnership with democracies, but he snubbed Israel's elected government. He also pledged to open a consulate in East Jerusalem for Palestinians. Now, whether or not he was doing that on his own or without Biden's permission, I don't know. But the point is here, remember Sullivan was also saying, the Mideast is quiet, never been better, we're in good control. And less than 3 weeks later, it all blew up. We have a Pentagon report that's been updated. You know, and we pointed out there have been attacks on U.S. forces in Iraq and in Syria, 38 attacks on U.S., and we're now told 46 U.S. troops have been injured in that. That's double the number we originally given. And Secretary Blinken had a response to the attacks on our troops.
We're not looking for conflict with Iran. We've made that very clear, but we'll do what's necessary to protect our personnel, be they military or civilian. Prime Minister al-Sudani has made very clear his condemnation of attacks against directed at our people, threats at our people, and his determination to do what's necessary to make sure that that doesn't happen.
We tried to deter them from doing that with rhetoric, did not work. And then we conducted an attack ourselves at a weapons storage facilities on the border of Syria. We said on Fox that that's not going to work. That's not effective. That does not get their attention. The attacks not only continued, but they have accelerated.
The words of retired General Jack Keane, an analyst for Fox News. Blinken saying, well, we told them you don't do this. This is the red line, the same kind of red line that Obama put down and backed away from twice. Biden has put down, and now they're just kind of forgetting about it. Blinken just stood there and told you that we made it clear to them. We're not going to allow them to continue to attack our forces. Well, they've been doing it. And we have at least now doubled the account originally put out by the Pentagon. We have at least 46 soldiers injured in some capacity. And those attacks continue. General King says this all is linked to Hamas.
We've got to face up to the reality that Iran is expanding the war by conducting these attacks against U.S. bases. And to say that this is separate from what took place in Israel also is fundamentally misguided. Iran is in charge here in terms of the proxy attacks against us and also dealing with Hamas's attack on Israel. I mean, in September, Hamas was training at the IRGC training center. So we've got to recognize that these things are all together. Iran is behind it, and we've got to get their attention. I've said before, what we should do is take down the capability of the Iranian proxies to conduct these attacks.
Take down their capability to conduct these attacks. There brings a pressing question with a possible explosive reaction. What does retired General Jack King say that the U.S. should do?
What we should do is take down the capability of the Iranian proxies to conduct these attacks. What am I talking about? We know where their command and control is. We know where their weapons are, their rockets, their missiles, the drones, and we know where their entire logistical infrastructure. Conduct multiple attacks, comprehensive on that, and take away this capability so they cannot continue. And if that doesn't stop, if they continue to do it, then take down the IRGC, which is directing these attacks. Start, and I would tell the Iranians, here's what's on the table. We're going to take down your training center where you train the Iranian proxies in Iraq and Syria, and also where you've trained Hamas and Hezbollah. And make certain that they understand that IRGC training center bases, Ronald Reagan hit the IRGC bases in the 80s when the Iranians were interfering with the flow of oil out of the Gulf. And guess what happened?
Yeah.
It stopped. And that's the reality of it. Iran doesn't understand anything but level of force that's applied against them. And I still think it can be measured. I don't think you do anything to go after the Iranian people. You go after the IRGC chain of command and support system that is directing these proxies to attack U.S. troops.
He's right on every point. I'd still have one question, and I wish Maria had asked it. When you say going after these IRCG, that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard troop training operations, some are in Syria and Lebanon and other places, and the West Bank, I should point out, the West Bank. But what about those actually in Iran? Is he saying attack those in Iran? That's a delicate balance, and we're going to be discussing that a little bit later with my guest coming up, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. But the Israeli funding issue, they say they wanted $14.5 billion. House Speaker Johnson immediately pushed that bill forward and got it through the House. Now, of course, it has to go to the Senate. And Chuck Schumer said, I'm not going to accept that. It's not even a serious bill. We need to quit this political fighting. Political fighting? How about real deadly, bloody fighting that's taking place. Anyway, quit this political fighting and get help to Israel ASAP, his words, ASAP. Here's your bill, Senator Schumer. Sign the damn thing and pass it through. But you know what he's doing? He's encouraging Democrats, push our Senate GOP members on new Ukraine aid. More money for Ukraine, and certainly do not separate it from money for Israel. Part of that comes obviously from the White House. Whatever the deal is Biden has with Ukraine, and however involved his family might be involved in financial largeness, exploitation through Hunter and the other groups between them and China, whatever that involves, it's still deep and murky, and yet we're still seeing bits and pieces here and there. Flotsam and jetsam, as you might call them, debris field. But the bottom line is, Biden wants the more money to go to Ukraine. The American people are reaching the point was, where's all this gone anyway? Who's spending it? How'd it get there? Where did we go next? But right now, the pressing issue is Israel, our only trusted ally in the Middle East. I told you yesterday that John Ratcliffe, former National Security Advisor, said, I see Biden slipping away from Israel. That should scare the hell out of you, that he's basically going to start turning his back more and more on them. Push for a pause in fighting, a ceasefire. You want a ceasefire, tell Hamas to surrender. Get Hamas to surrender. It will be over. Netanyahu's already said only the fighting stops when they release all hostages and they surrender. The GOP is split, obviously, on Speaker Johnson's bill on funding only for Israel, not Ukraine. Dems are split on the prime issue of just Israel. Listen to former National Security Advisor K.T. McFarland.
The Democrat Party is at a civil war with itself over the whole Israel, Middle East, Hamas, Palestinian issue. The younger Democrats are the progressive wing of the Democrat Party are anti-Semitic. They're anti-Israel. They're pro-Palestinian by definition, but they're pro-Hamas. The older part of the Democratic Party, well, they used to be pro-Israel. And so President Obama has waded into the middle of it because he's, for example, he said things when he was president, like, well, Bibi Netanyahu's a bad head of Israel. Bibi Netanyahu should go. And now President Biden is saying the same thing, saying, well, Bibi Netanyahu, his support is weakening. Netanyahu's the guy who wants to clean out Hamas, and they don't want that to happen.
You're going to hear more from Obama later in this hour. In the next hour, the idea of proving Hamas is hiding weapons in schools and mosques. Also next hour, finally we know why a transgender attacked a Tennessee Christian school. At least we know more. Coming up next, Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation. A lot to cover for you in both hours. You don't want to miss any. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930.
AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you, why pay more than four? In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Larry Connors USA.
We are conducting combat, which is door to door, compound to compound, because they've built up, effectively Hamas has built up extensive capabilities within the civilian arena, building, taking advantage of civilian buildings, of community centers, of mosques, of hospitals. And we are fighting them, seeking them out. And I'd say in almost all of the exchanges, we are killing the enemy.
We are killing the enemy, which is obviously the mission. Joining us now, someone who's familiar with numerous issues of missions such as this, been in the Marine Corps 20-plus years, now with the Heritage Foundation, retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, thanks to be with you.
All
just
right.
Enjoy our chats.
Yes, yeah. Sir. Me too. Semper Fi to begin with. And
thank you.
And we are going to talk about the Marine Corps birthday before we wrap up here. It's coming up this week. But I want you to give us your assessment when you were hearing the IDF leader, Peter Lerner, pointing out, or not one of the leaders, one of the spokesmen, that we are fighting door to door. We're killing the enemy, and we are finding weapons in mosques and schools.
Well, I mean, he's articulating reality as opposed to concepts and theories and, you know, what isms that come from a lot of capitals to include Washington, D.C. So it's not until you actually get on the ground and you find out what that reality means in terms of the practical implementation of a policy. So it's one thing to live alongside Hamas for 30 years or more. And it's quite another then to decide to eliminate that as a threat, and what does that actually take on the ground? So, you know, your show, you and others have talked about a lot of the video coming out of Gaza and these reports that Hamas dressed in civilian clothes, they hide their command structure and munition stores and planning cells and all inside of mosques, underneath schools and hospitals. They move around in the Gaza area with in ambulances and using civilian vehicles. So for the United States or anybody else to really pressure Israel to clearly differentiate military from civilian targets and try to minimize, you know, the death and injury of civilians, it's near impossible to do that because of how Hamas, conducts its activities. In a last comment, on this opening part is that we should be very, very struck by the deaths of children and the images coming out of Gaza. But whereas Hamas killed children, beheaded babies, and slaughtered innocents at music festivals and elsewhere intentionally, the casualties that are being produced in Gaza are incidental to combat, where a military force is going against a terrorist organization. And I think that oftentimes the media does not make that distinction.
No, they don't. And on top of that, they don't also make the distinction that no video comes out of Gaza unless they want it to go out, and they Correct. Want to show dead civilians, babies, children, a man running down the street carrying a child. Everybody's heart would break for that. And I don't know if the man had anything to do with Hamas. I certainly know the child didn't, but that's the kind of video they want the world to see. I'm looking at a piece from CNN, and they're saying Israelis are seeing that the world is turning against them, and they don't understand why.
Right. It's because the rest of the world refuses to acknowledge the reality that they're living, both in Israel, and the peace and prosperity that much of the world enjoys on a day-to-day basis. So, for example, if we had some cartel out of Mexico or some crazies out of Canada come into the United States and slaughter 40 or 50,000 people, which would be on a proportional basis what that would mean here in the United States, and then those fighters or those terrorists, using their own smartphones and their own GoPro cameras, uploaded that to YouTube and Telegram and all these other social media channels, and people would come out into the streets praising and supporting that, we would be absolutely horrified.
Yeah.
But that's what Israel is doing.
And quite honestly, I think that that's exactly how the world would react if they saw America under attack. And I'm not so sure we're not going to deal with that anyway. The word coming out, live update, that Netanyahu is saying that Israel will control Gaza security when all this does end.
They have to, and it's going to be brutal. You know, think about Northern Ireland in the period they call the Troubles between the Irish Republican Army and Great Britain and their law enforcement services. It's just an occupying force cannot win. But what happened was in 2005, Israel completely withdrew from Gaza. I mean, completely. You know, no siege to it. No trying to keep people hemmed in.
They pulled everybody out. They gave it to PLO, but then it was not Hamas at that time. It was PLO, then it became Al-Fatah, and then Hamas, correct?
Exactly, and you had tens of thousands of Gazans who would come over into the Israeli side and actually had jobs, you know, economic opportunity and all those other sorts of things. Civil war occurs inside of Gaza between Hamas and the Palestinian Authority and some others. Hamas wins by force of arms, and they have ruled Gaza for almost 20 years now. And use that as their basis for lobbing rockets, conducting suicide bomb attacks, kidnapping of Israelis. I mean, all that stuff for almost 20 years. And so if you're Israel, you cannot allow Hamas to continue to govern that territory. So they're going to go in and make sure things are secure, and as well as the proper distribution and use of any humanitarian aid that comes back into that area.
And Hamas has not allowed any elections since they took control. Now, before you joined us, I was running some clips from retired General Jack King saying what we need to do is do what Reagan did when Iran was breaking some of the oil sanctions. We need to go attack the terrorist training camps, i.e. the Iranian Revolutionary Guard put together for Hamas and Hezbollah. When he says that, I don't know if he's talking about just Syria and Iraq or if he's actually talking in Iran. What are your thoughts about it, attacking their bases in Iran?
I think a good idea, although that would probably escalate tensions, and people are trying to avoid a larger war in the Middle East. You know, the price of oil and everything else that would affect our daily life back here at home, as well as probably spurring sympathetic terrorist attacks. But people are operating under this fiction that just because you can't find a specific piece of evidence that showed that the Ayatollahs in Tehran ordered the attack on October 7th, that somehow or other that shields Iran from responsibility, when everybody knows that they've been supporting these terrorist groups for many, many decades, right? And so when the U.S. responds to an Iranian-sponsored militia group in Syria with two F-16s that hit a couple of warehouses, and don't cause any other damage, that's no deterrent, right? That's no message that's being sent to Iran other than a message of weakness. And yet we have a few dozen Americans that have been injured in various ways, and something like 39 attacks that have occurred against Americans in Western Iraq and in Eastern Syria since these attacks on October 7th against Israel.
So the Pentagon just doubled the number of those soldiers who had been wounded. It's suddenly up to almost 50, what they originally were saying, 20 or 25. So we're suffering more. These are our boots on the ground, not in Iraq, not in Gaza, but in Syria. And I said are in Iraq and Syria, yeah. not in Iran.
Yeah, supporting freedom-loving people who are trying to keep what remains of the Islamic State at bay inside of Syria, since clearly the government of Bashar al-Assad isn't going to do anything against them. So there are these little micro-wars that are occurring on a daily basis as surrogate forces of Iran try to prosecute all sorts of attacks against Israel and against Americans and other people who really do want peace on this. And the fact that we don't respond to that merely incentivizes this kind of behavior.
Well, we have a response from the White House. With Netanyahu saying that Israel will control Gaza security, as we just discussed, the White House is warning Israel against reoccupying Gaza.
And what would the White House's solution to that be?
No.
So if you don't want Israel to govern or to create the security environment in Gaza, who else is going to step in? Hezbollah, right? The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps. I mean,
what if they say the UN? Would that amount to anything?
Well, the UN can't even come up on a resolution out of the Security Council that makes any kind of a rational statement.
And didn't Russia vote that Israel really does not have a right to defend its country?
Yes. They've made that statement because if they support Israel, then other people could use the same kind of argument about the things, the atrocities that Russia has persecuted or prosecuted against Ukraine and down in Chechnya, and so many others. I mean, people tend to forget the original footage that came out of the early days of the Russia-Ukraine war and how there were rapes and murders and torturing of Ukrainian civilians by these Russian thugs. And the theft, the abduction of Ukrainian children taken back into Mother Russia, to double down on that sort of pain. So Russia is doing similar things that Hamas has been doing to Israel. And so Russia is going to keep it at arm's length. China, is trying to strike this balance like the peace broker. And then you have the enabling attitude of our own former President Barack Obama,
right,
saying that, well, really, we're all complicit in the violence that's occurring in this region. Go ahead.
I'm glad you brought that up. We're going to get into that before we wrap up this hour for the audience. But in the closing minute plus here, the U.S. Marine Corps coming up on its 248th birthday.
And it's looking mighty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the birthday video is out on the web. It's about 9.5 minutes, and it's just emotionally stirring. It's a great group of young men and women out there answering the country's call, the highest standards, and met all the recruiting quotas for 2023, and they're just in really good fighting shape. I'm so proud of them.
Yeah, and of course, the Marine hymn from the Halls of Montezuma dealing with the battles in Mexico, the Tripoli dealing with the Barbary pirates, that sets the stage for what we see today, only now the stakes are much higher.
Yeah, global force and readiness. And, my son's a young Lance Corporal with a battalion down at Camp Lejeune. So his mom and I are really watching headlines.
Good. And by all means, our prayers are with him and Semper Fi to him and you, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. Colonel Dakota Wood, outstanding. Outstanding. Coming up, we do want to talk more about what Obama has been saying, blaming others. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
This United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the courthouse, they're starting to unwind. Four kids on the corner, trying to bring him up. Willie picks a tune out, and he throws it on the hum. Down on the corner, out in the street.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If you want to solve the problem, then you have to take in the whole truth. And you then have to admit nobody's hands are clean.
His hands are the dirtiest of all. I mean, the audacity of President Obama to come out and say that everybody's made a big mistake here. Come on, he was the one that empowered Iran. He was the one that drove oil prices high and allowed Iran to sell oil on the international market. He dropped all those sanctions. So Iran got rich.
And they did get rich, as we point out to you numerous times. It's not just the $60 billion that Biden was going to send Iran, which obviously were against, and it was supposedly refrozen, none going to them. That was $6 billion. I said 60, it's $6 billion. But there's $100 billion plus that they were making from the sanctions against their oil sales being lifted by the Biden administration. That's been kind of forgotten in the wash, but that's critical. And yet, for some reason, Obama decided to come out the other day and say, you know, you got to look at everybody, everybody's hands, you know, they've all got their hands in it. They're all to blame. And the response you heard from KT McFarland, former deputy director of national security under Trump, says Obama dare do that when his hands are dirty. You heard her explain part of it. I'm going to go back and let you hear more detail.
His hands are the dirtiest of all. I mean, the audacity of President Obama to come out and say that everybody's made a big mistake here. Come on, he was the one that empowered Iran. He was the one that drove oil prices high and allowed Iran to sell oil on the international market. He dropped all those sanctions. So Iran got rich. He also paid money directly to Hamas. Why? Because he had this, quote, humanitarian aid to the Palestinians. Well, the humanitarian aid doesn't go to the Palestinian people. It goes to Iran. I mean, it goes to Hamas. Hamas steals the fuel. It steals the cement. It steals the food intended for the people, but Hamas uses it for its military purposes. And then finally, President Obama was the one who tried to negotiate with Iran to allow Iran to have nuclear weapons. So for him to say everybody's hands are dirty, the dirtiest hands of all are his.
again, the words of K.T. McFarland. And I certainly agree with her. If you recall, again, K.T. McFarland had served as a deputy national security secretary under Donald Trump. I should say national security advisor, not secretary. But her point is exact. And that issue about Obama allowing Iran to start getting uranium so they could build a nuclear bomb. But Iran, oh my God. Oh, no, Larry, you absolutely lied right there. They said they were only going to use it not to build a bomb, but to bring power to their people, as in electricity and things of that nature, to make their lives better. As I've often said they want to take their people out of the Stone Age, when they really want to bomb you into the Stone Age. And there have been reports recently that Iran has already assembled enough for an atomic weapon. How much, how big, we don't know. Now, the last time they were in the process of working on developing a nuclear weapon, with again, with the approval of Obama to get all these countries to sign on, he could not pass it through our Senate as a treaty because it wouldn't have been accepted, because we all know what Iran would do with a nuke if they had one. And it would be a direct threat to Israel. And then all through the Middle East, Saudi Arabia, they've got a nuclear weapon, and everybody else could say, we want a nuclear weapon too, those that don't have it. I ran down for you the other day in the number of countries that have nuclear weapons. Iran does not have one, supposedly. But then they had that incident the last time they were developing, and apparently very close, and, oh, some kind of incident happened. Some of their experts on building and dealing with an automatic atomic weapon of some type. They just disappeared. They died mysteriously. Then there's some kind of explosion at the facility. Just happenstance. Israel never said a word. But that's where I would look. Mossad, on behalf of Israel, and using other partners, going inside Iran and destroying what they had accomplished. This latest facility is buried deep, deep, deep under the ground where even a bunker-busting bomb could not reach it. They apparently do not have a ballistic missile delivery system at this point. But as I've said, they only need a donkey to load it up and walk it across the border into Israel or anywhere nearby. When I was in high school, the Conestoga wagon came to stop. I got off, and they started high school. Okay, we're even now. You got me on my age. Never mind. The biggest issue then was arms control and how many nuclear weapons Russia had versus America. And we basically, at that time, between the two nations, just those two, had enough nukes to destroy the world, if I recall, 100 times plus over. So obviously, that is clear overkill. You don't need all that. So the point was, how do you get it pulled back and controlled? When Reagan came along and decided, look, we will make a deal with Russia and we'll begin to break our weapons down, dismantle them, you do the same, we'll limit ourselves to a certain number of weapons. And his reaction was at the same time saying, we're going to trust that you're going to do what you say you're going to and do what we're doing, but we will also verify. And the world became a safer place. Then other nations got nuclear weapons. And right now, the two nations that have nuclear weapons are considered the most likely hot spot, at least prior to this latest Mideast development, Pakistan and India. They both have nukes, and they don't like each other. We've got issues and troubles all around the world. It's going to take a lot of prayer, and it's going to take a lot of strong leverage, not just weak, apathetic, indifferent, apologetic, can we buy our way out of this, can we bring you a birthday cake so you don't try to destroy us type attitude, which is what this administration currently has. and it doesn't seem to be getting any easier. I'd mentioned earlier that Chuck Schumer, leader of the Senate, a Jew, he will not accept the bill passed through the House to send $14-plus billion to Israel immediately. He does say we need to get aid to Israel ASAP, his words, ASAP. Does he know what that means, as soon as possible? I think he's looking at his ASS, because right now he's fighting against it. Why? Because the House wants to break apart just the Israeli funding, not tied to Ukraine funding, and all the other gadgets that also include supposedly increased border security, which is a lie. They're not really going to increase border security. You can do all that, but get the money to Israel right now. Why would you not do so? Because of the attitude of this administration and Chuck Schumer helping lead the Democrats, and you got the progressives, Tlaib and others inside, hate Israel. Now, for me to say Chuck Schumer and Biden hate Israel, that's pretty strong. I would couch it and say it this way. If Schumer really loves Israel, he would pass that bill through quickly and get the money to them. He wouldn't be playing politics as he's blaming the other side. Say, we're not going to haggle over money for Ukraine. Let's get this money to Israel. Then we'll deal with more money for Ukraine. But Biden is afraid that if we separate them, Ukraine won't get any more money. Probably not, because the American people have turned away from just dumping more and more money into Ukraine. You take just 10% of what we've given Ukraine already, $113 billion plus. If you take that and spread it across this nation, imagine the wealth you could create for Americans who are really in need. That's just a tenth of it. 12 years ago, before becoming president, Barack Obama talked about stating this. This is a time to fundamentally transform America. I didn't like the remark nor the intent then, nor now, and neither did conservative Mark Levin. That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone, or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Yeah, because America sucks. America sucks. The Constitution stinks. The Declaration, we don't even allow that recited in classrooms anymore because it says stuff like God. It's also horrible. This country, imperialist, capitalist, hateful, racist America. We have got to fundamentally transform America.
Those are the words of the conservative, the great one, as he's often called by Sean Hannity and others, Mark Levin. Constitutional scholar in many ways, obviously an attorney, and the remarks he was making, I hope you know they were tongue-in-cheek. He believes in this country fully. But he said, here you had Obama talking about transforming America, 5 days away from transforming, radically transforming America. I'm picking up on this because I saw a Twitter comment the other day from a woman in Georgia had posted on her Twitter account. I guess she follows me. I followed her back now. I don't know how it popped up on my feed. Here's what she wrote. Mark Levin said something that really struck me. He said that when Barack Obama declared he wanted to fundamentally transform America, Levin's initial thought was, you don't fundamentally transform something you love. You fundamentally transform something you hate. And that's where we are as a result. That was her Twitter and those remarks. The statement you were hearing from Obama and Levin's response at that time goes back 12 years ago, just before Obama took office. He has probably commented on it numerous times since, so I don't know if her tweet was something, again, recently Levin said, or that she was recalling what he said when Obama said, we're going to fundamentally change America. Well, you heard some of Levin's response. Let's go back to do it again.
I don't want to fundamentally transform America, do you? When you're fundamentally transforming something, that means something's horribly wrong. And in his case, it's the Constitution. In his case, it's the American people. Every damn thing this president is doing is what? Trying to control you. Trying to tell you how to live, what you can and can't do. That's the whole point of government-run health care. Maximum control over you. But don't worry, he loves America. He just hates you. He hates insurance companies. He hates oil companies. He hates talk radio. He hates capitalism. He's got real problems with the Constitution. I got audio on that, too. But why bother? Take my word for it. But he loves America. Loves it.
Yeah, right. You got to give credit to Mark Levin in that approach. And he's absolutely right. If you have something you love, you don't want to change it. You want to stay it the way it is. But we have people, I won't say Americans, inside this nation's borders, well, where you consider we have a border, we don't in the South, that want to change this country dramatically. Could there be some changes that would be good for America as a whole? Yeah. But those who are pushing change right now, they are pushing the most radical Marxist communist approach. When they're in the streets and proclaiming from the sea, from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, they are not proclaiming anything for America. They're talking about destroying our closest, our only ally, really, in the Middle East, Israel, and Jews all over, and Americans as well when you're in it. When you're in it, Americans as well. They don't want to make the country better. They want to radically transform it to what they want. All you have to do is look at the Democrats in the squad. Imagine, oh my God, please don't let it happen. But imagine if they controlled this country. What would be going on in your life at that point? Or would you have a life? Eventually, some of them would realize that was a bad decision because now they're coming after us. No, I love this country. I know you do. We do not want to fundamentally change it. We want to protect it. Those who are coming into this country not to be assimilated and become part of us, but to destroy us. And the border is wide open under this administration, and it should have been shut entirely on October 7. But the Biden administration waffling again. Coming up in the next hour, apparently alleged writings of that Nashville mass killer that went in as a transgender and shot up a Christian school that he, she used to attend. Now we're apparently learning more about the motive, and it's shocking, but it does not fit the leftist narrative. That's why it's been kept silent. That's next hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.